First, oops, yeah, this is being recorded here. Ethan, do you give your lecture here first? All right.
Yep. All right. Welcome to our virtual meeting. If you lose connection at any point during the meeting, you can reconnect by clicking the link or calling the number in your original email. To members and city staff, members, if you are able, please activate your video and keep it on for the duration of the meeting. Staff, if you are able, please activate your video when you are speaking. The chair and committee staff are responsible for muting and unmuting committee members. Use the raise hand feature when you'd like to be recognized to speak, ask questions, or request a roll call vote. During any roll call, all panelists will be unmuted briefly. Staff, click raise hand when you are asked a question. The chair will do their best to call on committee members in the order in which hands are raised. Lowering your hand will take you out of the queue. Members of the public who have registered to speak, which we do not have any today. So, Chair, the floor is yours.
Okay, first order of business then will be approval of the minutes of the June 17th meeting. Look for any comments or a motion on that.
I'll move approval.
Okay, it's been moved. Is there a second?
A second.
Okay, moved and seconded. All in favor, do not raise your hand. All opposed, raise your hand now. Seeing none, minutes are approved, and we're on to public comment. And I believe we have none, Ethan, from what you said.
Correct.
Okay, so we will be ready to move to disclosures and recusals. Anybody got to do that today? Looks like nobody, so we're all voting except me. So and participating in discussion, of course. Okay, so it's item 2501 Maple Avenue, Kyle.
All right, excellent. So we have a application here from a design firm that is looking to finish a basement in a residence. The reason this is on the agenda for today is we have a well-defined precedent related to variances for ceiling height in spaces that can't meet the UDC required 7-foot minimum. There are some additional items that I am really seeking clarity on, and that has to do with regards to the UDC guidelines relative to ceiling heights in bathrooms. So, historically speaking, our precedent has been limited to living areas, bedrooms, regularly finished areas. And for bathrooms, because bathrooms are specifically called out in the UDC with the 7-foot minimums at the front edge of toilets, at the edge of showers and basins, and we're getting more and more requests relative to that. And so I thought that this would be a good opportunity to bring a case in front of the board where you would have the opportunity to debate both the merits of this particular one, but as well as the idea as to whether or not we feel like the ceiling height precedent for one and two family dwellings for variances should or could be extended into bathroom spaces. I'm not asking you to specifically say that it should be part of the precedent here today, but just wanting to get the feel of the board while you debate the merits on this specifically. What we have here is a single family home located at 501 Maple Drive. You have a ceiling height, if you can see on the plans, that it does not meet the required 7-foot. They are proposing installing a living space as well as a full bathroom with a toilet and a sink and a shower in that space. Throughout the entirety of the basement, they have a ceiling height of, I believe, 81 and a half inches. That is floor to ceiling. That is 2.5 inches below the required ceiling height and above the 6'8" precedence that we have historically given for finished living and/or bedroom spaces. The equivalent matter that we will typically look to apply for something like this is interconnected smoke detectors that communicate wirelessly to each other between first and second, or between basement and floor levels, to allow for individuals additional time to escape the space in the event of an emergency or a fire. One other thing you will see on the variance application is that they are also seeking variances related to headroom and stair width. Both of those fall well within the precedent of something that we could give and would normally do. So what we have here is what I would describe as a very typical situation. We have a basement that is constrained by the physical characteristics of the building, does not meet the required 7-foot ceiling height. The living space is something that we could give a variance for, as well as the stairs. The bathroom, we have not historically. They'd like for you to consider that here today, and I'd like for you to consider the matter just as a larger topic for us in the future when applicants are coming to our office seeking permits. We have no one registered to speak. However, we do have two individuals, Paul Menard and Maggie Wilsey, who are registered to be able to answer questions. They are the designers for the project.
Okay, thanks, Kyle. I just want to clarify. So what if the way I heard that what you said is that we are discussing this particular situation, we're not discussing the general situation. We're focusing on what's right before us, and it will set potentially a precedent in the future, but we're not going to get into that discussion in this
Well,
segment.
I would like for you to, and you have a application directly in front of you that you'll need to rule on or to have discussions to specifically. I would like to get the feel from the board as far as whether or not you think this is something that should be in the future considered as part of or could be a precedent type element. So do think in larger terms, please, because I do have individuals who come to me with this type of request repeatedly. And so what I'm really looking for, in addition to this specific instance that you'll need to make a determination on, is guidance that you'd like for me to give for individuals in the future and how the board may feel about the idea of whether or not we would issue a variance for bathroom spaces that don't have the required ceiling height, where the code is specifically calling for 7 feet at the front edge of toilets, 7 feet at the edge of shower basins. So how you think about that process just in general and that overall topic would be helpful for me in guiding other individuals.
Okay, so I'm actually wrong. We can discuss it in a more general way. So, yeah. So, okay. I'll open it up to any discussion at this point. Any questions? George?
So, Kyle, remind me the general living area where it's approved by precedence. What is that number?
6'8" is as low as we can go before we would tell somebody that they would need to go in front of the board. Traditionally, if somebody has a ceiling height below 6'8", I discourage them from coming to the board as it's not been approvable without great extenuating circumstances. And since a precedent has been set, we set that as the minimum threshold.
Okay.
So from my perspective, I say that is actually consensus to what everything that I remember since I think I've been on the board.
Yes.
And I feel good about that.
Yeah, so the way I see this is, I mean, to me, it's logical that if we're giving down to 6'8" for living space where you can walk around wherever you want. I'm not quite sure why I would be thinking there's any reason not to extend that to bathrooms. Certainly, in this case, it's the same height as everything else. Nobody's going to be surprised. You know, if they're 6'9" tall, they're going to know they're going to have to walk, you know, bent over here, and the bathroom will not surprise them. I think sometimes the ceiling height thing is. When you get surprised, you know, it's like, oh my gosh, you know, I didn't see that that ceiling height was low, and then you whack your head. I don't see that in this particular case. I don't see that as an issue, so it'll be easy to for me to support it in this case, and in other cases too. This is my feeling. Okay, Sean, I think you were next.
Yeah, I think, I mean, my understanding of this very classic issue is that it's a safety for wet areas, right? I think that's that why it hasn't never been approved before is because it's in a shower, right, or a bath, because concern about potentially hitting your head on a slope ceiling, because often this comes up in a second floor where you might have a roof condition. So I kind of agree. If this is a flat ceiling, if they're, it seems less of a concern if they're 80, they're over, 6'8", right, in the shower, 81.5 inches. I guess I would also be curious. It's been a while, but I mean, not to shift this conversation too far, but if we look at the precedent that is set in most other states that follow the IRC, I believe that their height restriction in a shower is closer to 70 inches, which I just throwing that out there as an example that this is an ex if this is ex if I have that correct, this is an acceptable height based on most, most of the country. So not to that sidetrack us into, well, when are we going to get the IRC? I feel like this might be one of our codes that just hasn't been looked at. And I guess I'm looking for maybe, building inspection to respond to. Are we, is there a pre is the precedent to hold this back from our other ceiling height requirements that have accepted that 6'8" as a, at least a starting point for variance? Is there any historical precedence of why this hasn't gone along with that? And if again, if we're seeing that the most of the country is saying that that isn't acceptable, is this one of those moments that we could kind of refer to? Well, what are we seeing in the rest of the built environment in this country?
Okay, sure. George?
So I was just going to add to the thing about the rest of the basement being that height. But just as you're going into the bathroom, there is actually a header, or not a header, but the door casing that, which is even a little bit lower. So, if you are really tall, you're going to hit that door header or door trim before you're going to hit the ceiling in there. And it's all the same as the rest. Just wanted to point that out.
Okay. So I take that to mean, George, that you don't see a problem with this particular one for sure.
No, I do not see a problem with this.
Okay. Any other comments, questions? Lou? Your mic's off right now. There we go. Lou,
I'm just
you
not
there?
getting, I can't process the, my, the my thought, because there's, the other measurements that are there, there's that adaptability. So anyway.
Okay. Other comments? Possible motion? Kyle, are you getting some feedback here?
Yeah, I mean, this aside, what I'm getting from the board here is the general impression that you are not seeing a large distinguishable difference between bathroom areas as opposed to other habitable living spaces within the dwelling unit. And that there could be some areas of consideration, like slope ceilings, that would warrant some further thought. But in general, you're receptive to the idea that if you meet the historic precedent for other habitable finish areas, that that could logically extend out into the bathroom area and the codes that govern ceiling heights in bathroom areas in front of toilets and in showers.
Yeah, the one thing where I could see this getting tricky, you kind of hinted at this, I think, is let's say it's 6'8" in front of the toilet, but then it slopes further down than code allows. That seems to me not necessarily covered by this precedent we might be starting today, because it's a different issue. And it could be different. I could see if it slopes really radically down from 6 foot 8 to like 2 feet. And so as you sit down on the toilet, whack, you're going to hit your head if you're fairly tall. That's a little bit different to me. Other people? Let's see, Sean, I think you were first.
If we agree that this is maybe can be rolled into the 6-8 exception for this to kind of an administrative variance, can we craft that in such a way that doesn't allow that sloped issue? Because I have a bigger concern over slopes over toilets from a safety perspective. If somebody was to pass out on the toilet and EMTs have to show up to help retrieve somebody, they need safe working space. I think in this condition, if there's no slope ceiling, and there's claiming everything's over 6'8", I think that's a different scenario than the slope concern. And again, I think yes, you're in a bathroom, any area can be wet, but typically the most wet area is going to be directly in the shower, obviously, and right outside. So if we kind of if we, it sounds like the cons as we're talking about this, if there's nobody has a strong feeling of it, is there a way to craft that into not to clarify, it's not including slopes. Yes.
Yeah, is that or is that already clear, Kyle, that we're giving it certainly on this one and based on what you're hearing, we're okay with it being 6 foot 8 at the leading edge, but it sounds like generally maybe there's a consensus that the slopes are a different matter and would have to be considered separately.
So, from an enforcement perspective, this is how I would look at it. When I read through the ceiling height section related to bathrooms and looking at this section, the code reads the ceiling height extending back from the front edge of a lavatory may be less than, the ceiling height extending from the front back of edge of a lavatory may be less than 7 feet, but not maybe go below 5 feet until the back of the lavatory. So if we were to set the threshold at, say, 6 foot 8, that may not go below 5 feet until the back of the lavatory would be the element that I would be enforcing relative to the slope of a ceiling. So w that 5 foot room would remain unchanged. The 7 foot element would become whatever we felt was the appropriate precedent from that perspective here. As far as other areas of sloped ceiling, say, for example, a shower or tub, we would look at it as basically the lowest point of the sloped ceiling over the usable area would be effectively setting the ceiling height. So let's say it sloped from 6 foot 8 to 7 foot 4. Right now, we would say that that wouldn't be acceptable because you go below the required ceiling height of 7 feet. If we set that ceiling height at 6'8", we would say that the sloped area could be within that distance. Anything that then goes below 6 foot 8 from a slope perspective would be problematic. Anything from, say, 6 foot 8 onward would be okay under a variance. And of course, if it's over 7 feet, then it meets the code, no variance is required, period.
Okay, so you're saying that if the ceiling slopes from 6 foot 8 to 5 feet over a lav, for example, that's okay.
If that were to
Yep.
be what
Yep.
you would to were to establish from a precedence perspective, from a thinking about this for the future perspective, the code in the instance of a lavatory sets a both a required minimum at the front as well as a minimum at the back end. It says you may not slope below 5 feet until you reach the back end of the lav. So we would be looking at that distance, and it would, instead of being from 7 to 5, it would be 6 foot 10 to five, or 6 foot 8 to five, or what the established threshold would be.
Okay. All right. With that discussion, any more discussion, any motions, questions? John?
Kyle, I guess just a clarification on this too. I think this is honestly one of the most difficult to understand provisions in the UDC in terms of the rest of that code, where it talks about the ceiling height within the rim of a bathtub and the wall of the room abutting that rim, or between the side rim and the room of the wall abutting that rim. I mean, it gets like you need an infographic really to understand this. But just to be clear, like, is there a simpler way to, as we talk through this, anywhere you can stand in a bathroom or shower has to be 7 foot. Is that correct?
So, from working with individuals from a design perspective, we really stick to the front edge of the laboratory as well as the shower. So, we have run into instances where we've had bathrooms in slope ceilings, say on a second floor or a third floor, and they've wanted to put the shower on the exterior wall where it slopes down, and they've had to invert it so that they could get the shower into an area where they had 7 feet, and then looked at, could we say that we're going to give you a variance relative to just the ceiling height for the spaces that aren't in front of the shower, that aren't in front of the toilet. And we have done that, but usually what we've found is that individuals in that sort of instance are very constrained relative to the design of the structure. And so it has been in limited instances, but more often than not, it scuttles the project because they just don't have the square footage to be able to move things around relative to the slope of the ceiling.
So that is correct to say that, like, currently the UDC reads, if you can stand in a shower or tub, you must maintain 7 foot.
That's how
Is
we enforce it. Yes, correct.
that's right? Okay. Thanks.
Yeah, it Sean, I'll comment on what you said. I think my feeling is that graphics could really help the code. I know they have some graphics, but graphics are so much better than words sometimes. It's just so hard to say it. So yeah, I'll just throw that out there as agreeing with you, and if that could be passed on somehow. Okay.
And sorry, just one other follow-up, Kyle, just as because I'm so this is such an interesting topic to me, but has there ever been a precedence on this board to look at other code authorities like International Residential Code as an example of, yes, we don't follow IRC in Wisconsin yet, but I imagine someday we will. And that is has there ever been a code change in UDC in relation to an IRC code that says, hey, look at what they're doing, and maybe that's a precedent for us to provide?
So my understanding is the following, and also it's probably relevant towards maybe one of our other members who has just a wealth of background in the building inspection industry, who could comment on that. But my understanding is that the Wisconsin UDC really served as part of the framework for the development of the IRC, and a lot of the IRC standards came out of that, or at least helped kind of set the edges for that. And over time, you've seen the IRC continue to be updated, whereas the Wisconsin UDC has been maybe picked apart a little bit. And so those two codes have kind of inverted from each other. I am not aware of any sort of studies relative to variances granted for states that issue the IR or enforce the IRC, mostly because we just have not been ever asked to really look at it, and it's always been at the discretion of the board. And for the majority of items that already hit the precedent threshold, that's well established, well understood, and we don't spend much time going beyond that. I don't know if George has anything additional to add from his remembrance relative to the development of the IRC and or UDC.
Okay, other than Wisconsin lags way behind, not going to add a whole lot more. It's I did look up the IRC while we were doing this, and in bathrooms they allow 6 foot 8 inches all the way around. So, I'll just go back to I think that we should just extend what we would accept in the normal living area in a remodel of a basement and extend that into the bathroom, so we don't have to worry about these.
And you shouldn't have slopes in the bathrooms in a basement. I mean, that's not likely. Second floor, yeah, third floor, yeah, but not.
Well, you could have stairs, you could have, ductwork, you could have other
Yeah,
procedures like that.
you could.
But
Well, you could have anything in the way in the basement. Yeah, a beam.
so George, you said 6'8" was IRC throughout entire bathroom,
Correct.
but isn't it also is it 5'10" is our minimum height in a shower above a drain?
No, I don't have a full code in front of me. I'm just got that online. I doesn't really say.
Yeah, I don't remember any 5'10". AJ?
I was looking at, I'm trying to understand the intent here. Is this currently the whole thing unfinished? And we're adding a bathroom. And it looks like there's a little bit of a modification to the mechanical, but the living space is going to have a floor added to it. And then is the intent for someone to like live in this? Or and the only reason I'm asking this is because there's a lot of minimums for stuff here. And when we were talking about how, and I wish Rich was on here, but how the fire department would negotiate this, because there's, you know, we lost an inch in the stairs trying to traverse a gurney down this into this room to get someone out of here would be is you got a whole bunch of minimums to get them in and out of there. But I was just curious to know what the intention, if this is going to be like living quarters.
I can take that since it was submitted to our office. So what you have is you have a single family home. That single family home is, and I'm just going to confirm this, but I believe it is an owner occupied building. That is correct. So we have a single family home, owner occupied, and we're receiving an application simply to finish the unfinished basement. The application shows add bathroom, add living room. So this is your quintessential homeowner wanting to finish off their basement to create more additional usable space in their home. They want to put a bathroom down there as well.
Yeah, and there's got to be precedence for this kind of thing. If you meet the egress requirements, you can have a bedroom down there. So yeah, it's precedent after precedent after precedent for slight modifications. I'm sitting in one right now that got a variance back in the 90s. So to me, that's really well established. This is certainly not an egregiously different situation from code. It's cl fairly close compared to some. So I certainly don't have a problem with it. But that, I guess that's never been fully discussed, AJ. I don't remember anybody fully discussing it, but I certainly know the fire department has sat through these and hasn't raised a huge objection either. So we have discussed this pretty well. Anything else? Should we be making a motion, Cliff?
Yeah, I just have one quick question to Kyle on enforcement. Since the tolerances are so razor thin, is that then 6'8" an absolute? You know, there's no leeway for a fan enclosure or a shower receptor that may bring that floor up another half an inch. I mean, you're telling them that 6'8" is the actual clearance, not just you know, drywall to concrete slab.
Yeah, great question. So the way that we are going to interact with any individual when they're coming to our office for a variance is we're going to basically have this conversation. First, we're going to say, what is it that doesn't meet the code requirements? Why can you not meet the code requirements? And how close are you? And we will send them back and we will basically ensure that they are identifying to us exactly what those conditions are and what they can and cannot meet. Oftentimes, we find that individuals can both improve the conditions and or what they are seeking a variance for is more than the minimum threshold of what we could approve. And so we run into that situation of you're applying for a variance. You have, say, 6'10" as opposed to 7 feet. We're able to give you a variance. And the reality of the situation is if there's an inch here or there, it's not a big deal because we know that we have tolerance within which to work. If you come to me and you ask for a variance and you are bumping up directly against the threshold, what we are going to do is we are going to send you back and we're going to say, I need you to go confirm this specifically because you have reached the very maximum threshold of what that which we can approve. And so you are asking to hit that absolute minimum threshold with the understanding that if you come back and go, oops, my bad guys, I actually have 6'6" or 6'7", we're going to say, then the conditions you represented to us are not accurate. We cannot approve this further we have to go to the board and they have to consider it as a one-off, and or you likely may not be able to move forward with the project because it didn't represent the true conditions at the time of approval. So we'll have that conversation if necessary, but that's the way that we'll work through it. And very often, including in an instance like this, they are seeking a variance for greater than the minimum threshold at 81.5 inches as opposed to 80 inches. But I felt like it would warranted a discussion from the board.
Okay, thank you.
And to follow up on that, if I'm reading the plan right, it does indicate that that 81.5 inches is good over the shower, which indicates to me it's probably a tiled floor. So it's essentially the same as the rest of the bathroom, which is also tile floored and indicated at 81.5. So in this case, comfortable, but you make a great point. What if the tub, what if it was a tub and it, you know, it was raised 3 inches and you had 78 inches in the, if you're standing in the tub?
Oh, we do bring that up.
Yeah. That would be, that would not be okay. Right, Kyle?
That is correct. Yeah. We have this conversation back and forth with individuals. Like, this is, you guys are hitting on some of the finer details that are things that we do run through with applicants. I didn't know that, or I didn't think it was necessarily relevant to walk through every iteration here, but that is absolutely something that we think about, is like, is this a raised basin shower? Is it not? How do we approach that?
Right. Okay. So in this case, we are, you know, we are looking at the shower as same as everything else. So it's not an issue here, but good to talk about. Okay. Okay. Any other questions, discussion, or motion? Lou?
So are we affirming the intent of the building department to accept this, you know, you know, with these tolerances or, these adjustments, you know, as it precedents, and he doesn't, they don't, you know, he, as he described the process,
yeah,
they don't need to do it in a variance, you know, to us, because you'll be able to do it.
So here's the way that I view it. Today, I am asking for you to simply make a determination relative to this application. You've had a broader discussion about the entirety of the topic. What I would like to do in at a future meeting is basically bring forward a motion item where I would ask for you to affirm and outline the conditions relative to our historic precedents for ceiling heights. And then we would use that, and we would have that as a go forward standard for individuals who are coming to us seeking for a variance based on historic precedents. So based on the feedback I've received here, I think that that is something that you are encouraging and that we could do. But for this specific instance, it's strictly this project.
Right. All right. Anything else? Or a motion? George?
I move that we approve the variance.
Okay. It's been moved. Is there a second? Sean?
A second.
Okay. It's moved and seconded. All in favor, do not raise your hand now. And Sean, your hand is up right now. Okay. I'll say that again. All in favor, do not raise your hand now. All opposed, raise your hand now. Okay, looks like this passes.
Excellent. Paul, Maggie, thanks very much for listening. I will be in contact with the formalization of the approval of this variance here in the next couple of days. Thank you.
Okay, so we are on to any new business.
All right. As far as new business communications and announcements here, right?
Yep.
Yeah. All right. So communications and announcements, a couple of things here. I should have put this up front, but it's on the back end, so I apologize. You may have noticed we have a new member here, Cliff Goodhart. Would you like to introduce yourself and or say some things about joining the board?
All right, I'll be brief. I am a resident of the city of Madison since 1992. I am a retired architect retired about 3.5 years ago, most recently from EUA Architects. And in addition to my professional experience, I also participated on the city's Urban Design Commission between 2012 and 2024. So I'm looking to just participate in some more of these review boards like this, and hopefully with the expertise that is already on the board, just kind of learn something and maybe contribute something.
Well,
Great. Nice to have you here, Cliff.
from a staff
Thank
perspective, I just want to say thank you. I appreciate it. I think what you will find is that we are quite low profile relative to some of the other boards, like Plan Commission or Urban Design. Generally speaking, people are uninterested in what we're doing other than the applicants, but we know that it does make an impact here. And again, I really appreciate everybody who's willing to donate and volunteer their time. It means a lot. It's not an easy thing to do. So I appreciate it immensely. Thank you. Other communications and announcements here. You may or may not be aware, but the state of Wisconsin has proposed and adopted a new commercial building code that will be going into effect on November 1. The state of Wisconsin currently has adopted and enforces the 2015 IBC with Wisconsin amendments that technically went into effect on September 1, but there was a delay and a grace period for applications to be submitted under the 2015 code up to November 1. So on November 1, we will be enforcing the 21 IBC with Wisconsin-specific amendments. Our office is currently seeing a big influx of applications looking to get in under the gun, wanting to have projects that they had in the works under the 2015 code be submitted. Anything that's submitted prior to November 1, we get to take in and we get to enforce that code throughout the duration of the project. So that's been big news in and across the state. From our perspective, the 2021 code, just on a general basis, allows some more pathways for individuals. There's a couple of different design options. It introduces mass timber structure guidelines into the code. It also does adopt a new accessibility code or an updated accessibility code that I think will probably have some design impacts on individuals. It does require greater accessibility, things like turnaround spaces and bathrooms that can impact designs. But by and large, I think it preserves a lot of the pathways that individuals had previously and provides a little bit more clarity and a little bit more access to additional routes. In all, I'm viewing it as a positive thing that the state is getting closer to being up to date relative to the codes enforced. That is certainly big on our minds. I think those are the two things that I wanted to discuss here today for the meeting.
Okay. Does anybody else have anything? If not, I think the next thing on the agenda could be adjournment. And we need a motion for that. Otherwise, we'll be here for the rest of our lives.
I'll move, we adjourn.
Good. Is there a second?
I'll second.
Okay, moving second, all in favor, do not raise your hand. Luke, put your hand down. Okay.
Sorry.
All in favor, raise your hand now, or don't raise your hand now. Okay, all opposed? Seeing none, we are adjourned. Thanks.
Thank you all. Appreciate it. Have a wonderful
Thank
day.
you.
You too.